Hello, this is Joel and
Danielle
Young with For His Glory Ministry. We welcome you today.
Welcome.
Thank you for coming and joining us today. Our ministry is called For His Glory because that's what life is about. It is right. All for
His
glory. And our purpose today is to help bring you to a deeper understanding of the truth. For the truth that you know is the truth that will set you free.
Right.
The truth that you become intimate with will set you free, that you become one with. And our ministry will help you see Him more clearly, love Him more dearly, and worship Him more sincerely in spirit and in truth. For such the Father seeks, and we pray that you're the ones that He's seeking. Now, this is Healing Part 2. We did Part 1 last week for our radio show. And for more extensive teaching on this topic, you can come to our website, which is located at
www.forhisglory.org.
And you'll find we have extensive tape teachings on the order of 50 different tape teachings, including one on healing, done extremely well by the grace of God, available through our Fulfillment Center. And all that information is posted on the website, again, at forhisglory.org. Thank you.
O-R-G.
Yes, a nonprofit. Now, Isaiah 53, verse 5, and there'll be a new understanding here for many as the Lord drew me into that by His Holy Spirit recently. Now, let's go through it. Everybody turn in your Bibles to Isaiah chapter 53, verse 5. You should all have a Bible, pens, paper, and look carefully. It's going to be a little different for you. We'll have to retranslate this. Isaiah 53, 5. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our peace was upon Him. And by His wound, or by His scourging, we are healed. Isaiah 53, verse 5. Again. Wuhu micholal mipisheinu, meduka me avonotenu, musor shlomenu alav, uvachavurato nirpalanu. Now, this is extremely clear. I want to go back one verse for you also to Isaiah 53, verse 4, and it starts out, surely our sicknesses or griefs He Himself bore, and our pains or sorrows He carried. Yet we ourselves esteemed Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. 5. But He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our peace, our shalom, was upon Him. And by His wound we are healed. Now, for many of you in various Bibles that you may have, very good Bibles, by the way, it unfortunately translates this as, by His stripes we are healed. Have you
seen
that before?
Yes.
Many, many Bibles, by His stripes. But now think carefully. A stripe, if you stripe a fence, you put a stripe down one, and then you skip a space, and then you put a stripe down and skip. And so one part is striped and one part is
not striped.
Exactly. Therefore, we see a stripe defined by the areas that are not striped also. Now that is opposite to a biblical truth. Jesus Christ was a whole burnt offering according to the Levitical sacrifices there. He was an olah, O-L-A-H. An olah comes from the Hebrew term alah, to go up. Now the whole burnt offering was a whole burnt offering. It was all burnt. So when you see the translation where it says, by His stripes, you go, wait a minute, that's not a whole burnt offering. That would be a striped offering, and there's no such thing. We don't have that. So in any of your translations, please remember that is a translation, and it happens to be, unfortunately, even by very well-meaning and dedicated scholars over the time of our history, a wrong translation. It is a mistranslation. By His wound, we are healed. And you can find that clearly. The New American will translate it as by His scourging, and that keeps it in the singular, is correct. So all of His body was wounded for us. All of Him for all of us. All of Him for all of you. And for each of you, for all of each of you. Now you'll notice the same text is referenced in Peter, his first epistle, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. And it says, "And he himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. For by his," unfortunately, in my translation here it says, "by his wounds we are healed." Please correct that, change that. It's "by his wound we are healed." His whole body was so beaten and marred. The end of Isaiah 52 will tell you that. That his whole body was so beaten and marred, it was more marred than any man. In Isaiah 52:14, I'll read it to you exactly. "Just as many were astonished at you, so his appearance was marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." So more than any human being, he was more marred than anyone. So stripes doesn't even come close. If we just take a moment and think through what happened historically, then the Levitical sacrifices, the olah, the whole burnt offering that goes up, all of him for all of you, it was all burnt. And then Isaiah 52:14, that "just as many were astonished at you, so his appearance was more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men." Now, let's go deeper. We'll go back to Isaiah. This is quite a deep thought, but I want you to get it. Isaiah 53:5, we're going to read it again and then retranslate the very end of it exactly, hyperliterally, and then see what that truth is going to give us. And it's quite startling in its revelation. 53:5, "But he was pierced through for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. The chastening for our well-being was upon him, and by his wound he was healed for us. Uvachavurato nirpalanu. Uvachavurato nirpalanu. And by his wound he was healed for us." This is startling when you look at it. "And by his wound he was healed for us." Now, first we've made the initial point that what? That it's not wounds, plural, it's wound. It's not stripes, plural, it's wound. All of him for all of us. We are healed. But if you look around the world, even an initial cursory investigation will demonstrate the fact that not everybody's healed who are Christians, right? So unfortunately, to cover our own, and I have to be very frank, our own, including mine, spiritual inadequacy, that we're not always coming up to snuff. We're not getting it all done. We're not getting up to the plate and doing all the things that we're supposed to do. We turn around and say, well, all the wrong things, we actually say, and cast it unto the Lord, which is not only unfair and wrong, it, to me, it's sacrilegious and betrays a biblical truth that we're not healed because of God. Because when it says, by his wound we are healed, we're not all healed. So what's the deal? By his wound we are healed. But let's translate it exactly word by word. And by his wound, uvachavurato nirpa, is in the Hebrew verbal form nif'al. And that particular form, nif'al, is a reflexive form. It acts back upon the subject, or the one who's the subject itself. Therefore, and by his wound he was healed. And then lanu, which is for us, or to us, really for us. Yes.
It sounds like healing should be easy. He did it all.
It's always easy with him. Now, if by his wound, which it says, and by his wound, what was the wound? The crucifixion.
Yes.
At the cross of Christ, at the cross of Calvary, at the cross, the key point in the turning of the world to reset it back on its right course before God, he took away the sin, singular, of the world from which all sins come. The sin of Adam, the sin of Adam. That's in John 1:29, where John the Immerser, or John the Baptist, says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin, singular, of the world." And I invite you on that note to look at sin and the word sins in John 8:21 and 8:24. Uvachavurato nirpalanu, and by his wound He was healed for us. He took all our sin and sins unto himself as a whole burnt offering, was lifted up and took them off us unto him. But now he has them. What's the next step? Uvachavurato, and by his wound, he was healed. Nirpa, he was healed. He took them all in himself, and he healed them all in himself. Do you have it? Or else he just took them on himself, and he has them all. But once he has them, what does he do with them?
He was healed of them.
Yes, he was healed. He acted upon himself. He took it all in himself. He healed himself, being God and God in the flesh, paid the price fully. But for what purpose did he do it, Lanu? For us.
For us.
For who?
For us.
For who?
For us.
For us, exactly. Yeah. That's who it's done for. Now, you have to get that. Uvachavurato nirpalanu. Uvachavurato nirpalanu in Isaiah 53, verse 5, the end of the verse. And by his wound, singular, as a whole burnt offering, he was healed for us. He was healed. It is all done in him. Now, why are we not healed? If it's done in him, then we have to appropriate it by faith, what he has done and done in himself for us. But it's for us, and then we have to do the work by the action of faith or believing and acting upon it, trust, acting faith, faith that I call that has feet, that walks it out and does it, believing what he has done for us in himself, taking it all off us onto himself, freeing us from it, and then healing it in himself, that when we realize that I don't care what it is, blindness, wheelchair, deaf, dumb, any illness, body, soul, or spirit, period, he took it all off us. And then in him is the healing itself. He healed us of that all in himself, and we appropriate Christ, what he has done, instead of live the lie, the sin, the problem, that may even be for an innocent person who is in a fallen world that is being hurt by ruthless, rude, evil people out there that need to but don't yet know God, the God of Israel, the only God there is. There's none before or after him. You need to know God. Now study that carefully, and now we're going to go to another very interesting area, John 9, 1-5. I'm going to invite you all to turn to John chapter 9. It's in the New Testament. Danielle is going to read it, and we're going to bring a correction in here to clear up another problem that I learned from Jack Poirier of the Jerusalem Perspective online. To him, the credit is due. Now, Danielle will read John, and I want you all to have it with you. John 9, verses 1-5.
And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Jesus answered, It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents, but it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me as long as it is day. Night is coming when no man can work.
While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Now, that is stunning. What is the common problem, though, people have with these series of verses who do not, unfortunately, believe in healing and then receive just what they believe? Nothing.
Right.
Unfortunately.
Yes.
But at the surface read, with the way it's punctuated, I remember punctuations are put in here by the translators, and then in the original Greek, as well as the original Hebrew, there are no chapter verse markings, and as we don't have the punctuation as such.
Right.
So later scribes have come in and put them in where they thought it should be. That's introducing potential human error, and it shows up here with glaring obviousness as soon as you see it, if you haven't seen it to date. What is the potential problem is in this particular verse that Danielle read? John 9, if you're just joining us, in the New Testament, John 9, verse 3. Jesus answered, "It was neither this man sinned nor his parents, but in order that the works of God might be displayed in him." So, what kind of problem do we have now? We see a man blind from birth. The disciples walk by with Jesus and they're getting life application lessons. Truth walked out with the author and he himself who has embodied truth. And they ask him to see a man blind. They ask the question. They say, "Lord, Rabbi, why is he? What happened to him? Did he sin? Or his parents?" Now, why would they ask, did he sin if he's born blind? How could he sin? If he's born blind, where's the chance to sin? If you're born blind, yes, it's a fallen world, but to be born blind, in some Jewish thinking, not that it's correct, but just to share with you a cultural capsule, you find that some Jews thought that you could sin in a spirit world before you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, his sin he brought into the world with him. So then the question arises from that perspective. Rabbi, we need to know, is it mm-hmm. what we think? Did he sin before coming to this world or his parents? Meaning it's a generational issue.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the two categories, the only two they present to the Lord. And what does the Lord answer? At times a typical and right Jewish answer. Here it's obvious.
It was neither.
Neither.
That not, this man.
Not that or the other. Go ahead, Danielle.
It was neither that this man sinned nor his parents.
Keep reading.
But it was in order that the works of God might be displayed in him.
Period. Do you see the problem here?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus says it's neither the man who sinned or his parents. But why did this happen? That the works of God
might be displayed in him.
Therefore, we say, well, God had this person. This is not my thinking, and I'll show you why in just
a
moment.
This is what it sounds like.
This is what it sounds like based on punctuation and putting the emphasis on the wrong syllable and a period in the wrong place. It says that this happened to this man and he was born blind, that God would end up glorifying himself through that person's life.
We know God and his character. Does that sound like something he would do?
Not to me, and I don't think
me
to anybody in
neither.
The world or in the spirit world either. Because your alarm bell in your spirit should go up.
Ding, 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 ding.
And what you'll find is that you'll say, wait a minute. You're telling me God had this man sick and he was sick and born blind so God would glorify himself in it years later? And unfortunately, many of our very wonderful and beloved Christians operate under this premise, which to me is a spiritual illusion, a spiritual delusion, because that is not God. Never was, never will be, period. Your mind must say God is good and his loving kindness is forever. Psalm 136, verse 1. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And you find that in Psalm 145, verse 9. So you look at scriptures carefully, and his character, he doesn't change. Malachi 3:6a and Hebrews 13:8. Watch what happens when you put the period in the right place. All the problems clear up, the difficulties go away, God's character is not besmirched or misrepresented, and we have an accurate text without changing the text, adding, deleting, or changing the actual letters of the original text. We just changed the punctuation because scribes put that in later where they thought. That's a human point of view, and in this case, a human error. Watch carefully, and I'll read it. And we'll put the periods and the punctuations in the right place when we get to that area in John 9:3, starting at 1. And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Yeshua, Jesus answered, here it comes, neither this man sinned nor his parents, period. Change your Bibles. Take a big pen and put a period there in red. Neither, he answered their question. They said, Rabbi, who's in? This man or his parents? He said, neither this man nor his parents, period. You asked a question about parents or the man? He answered the question about them. Then the next sentence begins, but, and it's perfectly good grammar. To those that know the grammar of the Greek, to start a sentence with but. All right? That is a grammatical point, and it's well accepted. So I'll read that sentence in John 9:3 with the period and go forward. Yeshua Jesus answered, neither this man sinned nor his parents, period. But in order that the works of God might be displayed in him, comma, we must work the works of him who sent me, comma, as long as it is day, semicolon, night is coming where no man can work, period. Did you get that? I'm going to read it again so you're very clear, starting at John 9:3. I shall read the whole thing at 9:1-5. And as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he should be born blind? Yeshua, Jesus answered, neither this man sinned nor his parents, period. But in order that the works of God might be displayed in him, comma, we must work the works of him who sent me, comma, as long as it is day, semicolon, night is coming where no man can work, period. While I am in this world, comma, I am the light of the world, period. Now it's totally clear. But in order that the works of God might be displayed in him, we must work the works of him who sent me, as long as it is day, night is coming where no man can work. So the Lord is saying, let me tell you what we got to do. We must do the works of God. In order that the works of God might be displayed in this man, how's that going to happen? How? He said, we must do the works of him who sent me. Therefore, the man is going to be, through his healing, then glorify God. Jesus says, we must, in order that the works of God might be displayed in him, right? But in order that the works of God might be displayed in him, comma, how's that going to happen? How are we going to display the works of God in him? How are we going to do this here? By doing, we must work the works of him who sent me. We, that's all of us, must do the works of him who sent Jesus, for night is coming where no man can work. All right, for as long as it is day, for night is coming and no man can work. So God gets glorified when the person gets healed.
Definitely.
And Jesus says, I want you to understand that. I want you to understand that it's neither this man nor his parents, period. But in order that the works of God might be displayed in him, for that to happen, we must do the works of God.
That is excellent.
Isn't that something?
I love it. Yes.
Now, Jack Poirier, P-O-I-R-I-E-R, of the Jerusalem Perspective online, is where I learned of this from the Jerusalem School's work. They've done some brilliant work. And he just, by now, we have come to a similar conclusion in the past, but did not have knowledge of his grammar understanding. But when you know the character of God, which is good and perfect and lovely and beautiful and righteous and holy, you'll understand that you will already know the conclusion.
Yes.
Even if you don't have all the details yet. Therefore, the line of your thinking having an endpoint, a terminus, the goodness of God, you'll know that where you begin, no matter what reference point you begin, you'll know where you have to end up. So
right.
You know when you're off or on track, because you know you're traveling to one city or another. Here, your goal is God. Yes, Danielle.
That's why it's so important to look for the character of God when you read the Bible.
Exactly. And remember, as the author Bosworth said in his book, Christ the Healer, which again I heartily recommend, healing is salvation of the body, and there's other forms and levels of healing of mind and soul. Remember that Christ came to set the whole man free, to be whole and holy, blameless unto the Lord. Now let's all go and do the same, and as such be healthy, whole, and holy. And we love you all very much, and we wish and pray his best, his all, for each of you too today.